Hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 202, I believe. If not, it doesn't really matter. I'm Corey. Here's Daryl. Yo. Daryl, I'm waiting on that Coke, buddy. My Jinx Coke in the mail.
I'm drunk. Okay, I'm not
drunk. You know what else I'm waiting on, Daryl? My Secret Lair Mountain Go pack, the four lightning bolts that I purchased like 4 months ago. Do you remember when those came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Still hasn't arrived yet, and I'm definitely not the only one. There's still people that are like just getting them in the mail like now or just haven't got them yet. So I don't know how long ago that was. It was at least 4 months ago at this point. And I know that we've got printing issues and stuff like that, but Watsi has like literally released like 3, 4, 5 other products in the amount of time that it, since I've purchased that. And it seems very, very backhanded to, just sell this unfulfilled product and then just go about and release now 2 more sets of the same product line after that. There have been 2 more sets of Secret Lairs, 3 more sets of Secret Lairs since then that have been released. And so we've got another one today, Walking Dead. Alrighty. Secret Lair Walking Dead.
Well, let's save that for after our nice plug for manfreeders.com.
Yeah, we got to do that, but the transition was there. It was low-hanging fruit. I had to take it.
I know. I don't understand, man. I don't understand this product at all.
Go on. Manfreeders.com, Daryl. Hit us.
All right. So, do you like to play Magic the Gathering online?
I don't know if I do anymore.
I mean, sometimes. But sometimes you got to buy those Uros or those Force Negations, and you don't want to spend $70, $80 a card on digital objects. Manfreeders.com has your help. You can rent cards for a cost. But unlimited rental up to a certain amount of hours. With the promo code, are we Modern Medi-Call still?
Yeah, it's the same. Modern Medi-Call, all one word, no hyphens.
14% off your first 3 months with managers.com.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, man. It's the only way to do it these days because it costs an arm and a damn leg to play online. And I am raging out today. My blood is boiling. And I've taken a lot of shit. We're going to probably get the explicit tag on this podcast because I don't know. This is just like the breaking point for me, this whole thing. Corporate greed. I tell you what, Hasbro was the worst thing to happen to this game. And I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing to happen. I can't even remember what it was like and how we could possibly get back to the point where like this game was just like this pure game of Magic. And it just feels like when all of these quote unquote shiny new products are coming out, it's like, oh, how could you complain about new stuff that they're giving you? It's like, no, it's not how this works. It's like all of these new things that are being provided to us are really things that, you know, you feel inclined to spend your money on because if you don't, you can't remain competitive in these formats that you are invested in already. And so the more stuff that gets released and the more stuff that gets infused into these formats that these like $20 price tags, $30 price tags, $50 price tags, and now some of them $80 for a digital object on the internet. It's like all of the investment that you've made in the past, it just gets pushed out of favor. It's like it doesn't really matter what my collection is all about in the past because all of this new stuff is coming in that I don't have that is what I need to like actually replace my old stuff that I've already purchased with. And that is obviously beneficial to a company that's looking to make money. I get that. But man, it's just like every day there's a new product and every day there's a shiny new powerful card and the power creep is real, right? You see it and you're like, wow, that could go in my deck. And then once it's released, if it's any damn good, then it really will go in your deck and it's going to cost you. And
yeah,
it hurts. It's just it's too much to keep up with, even for a person like myself. I mean, I have a damn podcast about Magic that I do every week, and I still can't, I still can't keep up with all of these formats.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much kind of waved the white flag on playing Standard and Modern, Pioneer, and really Legacy. So I've kind of just played Modern if I've been playing or Commander. And it's, if I didn't have Mana Traders, I don't know what I would be doing.
I'm about to cash out of the MTGO collection, to be honest with you. It's just worthless right now. I mean, I've got this heap of cards in my collection, and I look at it every day thinking, what deck could I build to play? And the answer is nothing, because the only decks that I actually have access to right now that I wouldn't have to infuse another, you know, plug another $200 in to make it viable is like the Humans deck that really hasn't changed much in the last few months. But other than that, it's like everything has like a new like $60 card in it or a $200 playset of something that is just hard to acquire because it's a standard era mythic that, you know, people aren't opening on MTGO because they're playing standard on Arena. And WotC is just doing absolutely nothing to control the supply of those cards on Modo. It's like Uro, like that is clearly a card that is seeing play across all formats. It is a huge part of mid-range and value strategies across all formats. Yet the availability of it, you know, is so small that in order to purchase it, it's like, you know, $60 for digital object. But the solution, it just is like, just make more of them available. I don't understand why that's so complex. And I know that there are so many people that are thinking like, wow, what about the people that have already invested in this product? Well, we wouldn't have gotten to this point if this was something that had been considered from the get-go, right? Like, there's no reason like any digital object needs to climb to the point where it's even more than $20, 20 tickets. And even that is ridiculous. Like, we've been desensitized to the fact that this nothing, this collection of ones and zeros, is like somehow valuable to the point where we're willing to just throw cash away because it's a necessary evil for our deck to exist. And that is a lot of money for nothing, yeah. Especially something that we don't actually own. There's a whole argument about that whole thing.
Yeah, definitely like the situation where you can. I think we've hashed this out a few times, but definitely a situation where you could just lose your account is unfortunate. So like you kind of have to be a little careful there. But yeah, I mean, it is hard to keep up, especially like it. To me, it's like for Paper Magic, I can't even like convince myself that it's worth it. But like for MTGO, it's kind of worth it, but it's still like, you know, I have budgetary concerns because, you know, wife and kids, but
yeah,
you know, like I will, and I'm trying a new hobby on size. So who knows where that budget ends up. So,
well, and here's the issue. And here's where it really like it becomes compounded is because something like this Uro ban today, right? I'm talking about how expensive this car is and how limiting and restricting it is for like even older formats where it didn't get banned. But the problem it has climbed so much is because people are so hesitant to buy into it in this format like standard where there is a ban every week. You know what I mean? And it's like so forecasted that this card is going to be nixed from the format at any point in time because of its obvious power level. I mean, we're seeing 35% of the meta is freaking Uro ramp decks. More than that, in fact. And so how could you justify that cost for a card that you can only play for, you know, well, it's a really big question mark when it's going to go. At this point, it's gone today. Spoiler alert, Uro has been banned. And then the value is lost, and now you're back to square one. Granted, you can sell the card, and you can get some amount of tickets back. But you lose a certain percentage on the transaction. You lose money because now the card's value is down because everyone else is trying to sell the card at the same time. But how could, I mean, I don't know that anyone in their right mind would feel comfortable making that investment when you have the alternative in Arena where you get the wild cards back, right? So who's cracking standard legal packs in MTGO to get these cards? Who's drafting in MTGO when it costs $10 to do so when you can go and do it on Arena and it's faster, it's quicker, and the interface is much more convenient? So it's just, it really feels like it's being left to die right now. And it's really unfortunate because the greatest formats in this game, and we're going to look at the challenge results from Modern in a second. Modern is in a great place right now. It's so healthy. This is the most diverse meta game we've got in all of, you know, Magic right now. And you can't play it. You know, there's nowhere to play. Yeah. You can't play it in paper because of the pandemic. And you can't play it online unless you're willing to sell a kidney, you know?
Yeah.
So
but
it grinds my gears.
Yeah. Understandable. That's fair. I don't want to be negativity on finance the podcast, because there is an understanding that Magic has become a luxury hobby. So if it's not there, it's not there. And, you know, that's where we supplement with things like Mana Traders.
Yes, Mana Traders is great. Thank God for it, right? Mana Traders, Modern Meta Call, one word, for 14% off, by the way. But luxury hobby is not a type of thing that is designed to reach, you know, the younger generations, which is also their motive, right? And that is very conflicting and confusing to me. But we do need to talk about the Walking Dead thing, and I know that you're trying to transition us off negative subjects, but you know, while we're at it,
I am. I'm trying to stop the gear grinding.
While we're at it, let's talk about this secret lair, because I'm not done being pissed off yet. I love the idea of these secret lairs. Let me put that out there. I think that for them to purely be like a supplemental product, where this is an opportunity for them to like try to cash in on some of the people that are willing to spend that extra money, right? Like, there's some really fun arts, there's some really cool designs, there's some neat crossovers that people that are like, I don't really need this, but I'm willing to, like, you know, throw some extra dollars at this because I want this cool art for my EDH deck. That's fine. This is the perfect place for that, right? I'm okay with waiting a few months for lightning bolts, because I don't need lightning bolts right now. But the art's sweet, and I thought that it was worth having those at some point, so when I do get to play Modern again, I can swap out my old lightning bolts with these cool ones. Now, 4 months is a little ridiculous, and I haven't received an email or any update on that. I'm kind of wondering, like, if they've just forgotten about me, or and they've taken my money and run. I don't know. Whatever. But now, here's the secret lair of Walking Dead, where brand new cards are being printed that are going to be Eternal playable. Did you see that, Daryl?
Yes. So is Eternal just Legacy, or is Eternal also, is Modern considered an Eternal format?
I think Modern,
is
too.
Is Pioneer considered an Eternal format?
It says legal in Eternal formats.
Right, but my question is, what are they considering Eternal formats? Is it just Commander, Vintage, and Legacy, or is it also Modern Pioneer? If it's also Modern Pioneer, hopefully none of these are good. If it is not Modern Pioneer, I don't particularly care.
Well, here's the thing, like, even if one of them is not even that good, but it's just remotely playable, because these are unique. The thing that they're toting is these cards have unique designs. Like, if something is unique and it fills a niche, like, it's needed for a deck, right? And you get one of each of these in these packs that are sold MSRP $50. So imagine this, and let me just preface this by saying they're going to be printing to demand. So they mentioned somewhere that they're going to be printing these as needed. It's not like a limited run like the other secret layers. So that's good, right? But the problem is, if one of these is needed for a deck, and the supply problem still exists by the time they release these in, what, like 2 weeks you can buy them, which I can't imagine they're going to solve this 4 month backlog that they've got in 2 weeks. What's going to happen? Like, if this is like Legacy playable, or God forbid, like one of these is at common rarity, which I don't think they can be, but Pauper playable, you need them for your deck because it only exists in this one product. And guess what? In order to acquire it, you have to pay $50 per and wait 6 months for it to arrive at your house. Really?
Yeah.
Then the people that are lucky enough to get them early can put them on eBay and just gouge the hell out of the prices. They can charge $1,000 for a Mycone Ruthless Survivor if that card is needed for Nick Fit and Legacy or something. I'm not saying that it is, but you know what I mean. So let's just hope that these cards absolutely suck.
You are an angry human.
I'm pissed, man. I'm going to eat. I'm going to buy one of these, and I'm going to eat it on camera, and I'm going to mail it to Watsy.
Oh,
no,
God.
I'm just kidding. That is the opposite of the message I'm trying to send. I'm not even throwing my mic.
You're a mad lad.
But seriously, though, I just, like, we tolerate a lot, you know, and like, everyone will say, I'm done with this. I'm, you know, like, I'm not done with this. I'll be honest with you. I love this game. I play Commander all the time. But this, it is so frustrating. And I am surprised that this conversation isn't being had more about how, like, we're just tolerating this print supply issue and how they just keep pushing shit.
I think I might continue playing, but I think my future spending power might go elsewhere. That's the way I'll say it.
Yeah. Should we talk about these two cards?
Yeah, let's talk about them.
I mean, they've got some commander application. They're unique enough where, you know, they might this Mardu one might be like a commander staple for Mardu. Like it's kind of like a whatever that little red goblin guy is, like kind of a bad version of him, but. So these are characters from The Walking Dead. I don't really watch the show, so I don't recognize them. But if you did watch the show, you'd probably be like, "Oh, sweet, this is Mycone." I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right, Mycone. You watch this show?
I hate this show. Oh. I actually hate this show.
Okay, so this is not your product. So imagine this, Daryl. Imagine you do play the deck that needs this Mycone or whatever, and you're like, "Oh, I hate The Walking Dead. Now I have to play this stupid card." And I have to wait 6 months. Anyways, 3 green-black for a legendary creature, Human Warrior. It's a 3/3. When it enters the battlefield, create 2 walker tokens. Not to be confused with planeswalkers. Walkers are what they call zombies in this show. As long as Mycone is equipped, she must be blocked if able. And whenever Mycone and at least 2 zombies attack, she gains indestructible until end of turn. That's confusing because...
This card is terrible.
It says walker tokens, but it doesn't say walker tokens are zombies, does it?
I think it's implied, the creature type of the token. Because, like, tokens have creature types, and most of the time we just name, like, goblin tokens, but they're creature type goblin.
Oh,
so the walker tokens are walker tokens because Walking Dead, and then they're creature type zombie.
Sure, and then the tokens actually do come with the pack, too, so... Yeah, this card is pretty terrible. For 5 mana, I mean, this could cost 3 mana, couldn't it?
This could cost 0 mana. I don't how big is it, a 5/4 or something like that?
I mean, I guess you do get 2 bodies with it, so it's a 3/3.
Yeah. I mean,
so
how big
you
is
get
this?
It's a 3/3
seven
and you get
power?
7 power. Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I assume they're 2/2 zombies.
They're 2/2.
This is a 4 mana thing probably.
All right, but not very good. So fortunately it sucks enough where it's probably not going to see play, but again, it's dangerous territory. We said that about Nexus of Fate, didn't we? And, you know, that was screwed up. All right, Negan the Cold-Blooded. 2 red, white, black for a 4/3 human rogue. When Negan enters the battlefield, you and target opponent each secretly choose a creature that player controls. Then those choices are revealed, and that player sacrifices those creatures. This guy's sweet. Whenever an opponent sacrifices a creature, you create a treasure token.
So it's 2 red, white, black, and what are its stats?
5 mana for a 4/3. Its stats don't much matter. That activated ability or triggered ability is very good.
That coming to play ability is insanely strong. So, like, let's talk about the head games for this card.
Yeah.
Like, so you play it, you pick an opponent, and then you pick from their creatures.
Right.
So, like, their best creature is, like, the obvious target, right? Yeah. So, like, do they vote for the obvious target, hoping that you'll vote for it, too, and they only lose one thing? Or do they vote for a non-obvious target, hoping you'll vote for another non-obvious target, and they get to keep their best thing? Like,
yeah.
And then, you know, so like, most of the time, you can bait your opponent into giving you a 2-for-1.
Yeah, if there's
the choices are made secretly.
If there's like 2 like really strong possibilities, then that's where you get a chance. But if there's like 1 that's like, I obviously have to kill that thing. Like the only time you're going to get 2 is if you're ballsy and you're like, I won't choose that one, assuming my opponent's going to think that I have to and choose that one. So,
I would 100% probably do that every time. So
yeah,
like,
well, now I know. I won't allow you to get by with that.
Perfect. But yeah, I mean, and then making treasures, if your opponent sacrifices creatures, this is very good in EDH. It's got a lot of synergy with like Dictate of Erebos and Grave Pact.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, this guy could be a very popular commander though. That's the thing. Like, yeah, all it takes is 1 good commander in this pack to sell this thing.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well then,
are you done being negative? Can we go to the modern challenge?
Let me just confirm.
Negative.
Let me confirm that price. It $50. Oh, secret. I don't know if it's
$50.
Foil. Is it foil?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would assume so. Most secret layers are.
All right. And then how many more cards are we gonna get? I don't know if it says.
No,
it looks like the zombie has 5 cards sticking out of its head, so I imagine there's 3 more.
Yeah, I mean, that's logical.
Okay. All right. Yes, we can move on, but I hope that you're all sufficiently outraged. So, Uro's Band, are we going to talk about that? Uro's Band in Standard?
I mean, no, everybody saw something coming from that landfall deck, whether it was Uro or Omnath's pushing packs. So, Uro's the man to go.
Yeah, generally speaking, people are kind of upset that there's not more banned, but I mean, do you think WotC was like not proud enough to ban one of the cards from the new set already?
Like, yeah, no, Lotus I'm Cobra, not surprised Omnath. By that. I mean, Lotus Cobra, whatever, is whatever. I'm not surprised that nothing got banned from the new set. Gotta push packs, especially during the pandemic.
Yep, yep. I think that we'll see a Lotus Cobra ban at some point, Omnath ban at some point. But we'll just have to wait for, you know, more awful standard to, you know, take place. So I want to play rogues in standard really bad. I've been playing it in historic. The rogues deck is a blast. It's like the mono blue tempo deck. Cause you can play like the curiosity stuff and you got all these flash creatures. Rogues is sweet.
Nice.
There's a lot of really tricky combat trick stuff because your rogues like enter the battlefield and like mill your opponent, and then the rogues like can like anthem each other based on the number of cards in their graveyard. So like there's the black blue flash 1/3 flying guy that, you know, like all of a sudden it's like a nice blocking trick. It's just a lot of really cool stuff. And then you can play the one in a blue counter spell that you know counters unless they pay 4 if you have a flying creature. So I won't go into that. We're not here to talk about that. But check it out. Rogues is badass. And in historic, it's a real deck. Okay, sorry. Now, I'll let you take us into modern. Because, like I said, modern is some good news. We got some good stuff going on in modern.
I don't know if I'd say that as much as something else. But Moderno Challenge 926.
No, you don't like
one
this?
One by... I mean, I don't think you're going to like the second place list. But
well, no, that's stupid, but it's a thing.
It exists.
Yeah.
First place was a deck you might be into, Dead Guy Ale. So it's black-white, disruption-y creatures.
Yes, 100%. Deck is sweet.
Yeah. Thought Season Inquisition, Stoneforge, and Tide Hollow. Lots of Skyclave apparitions, Liliana's, various equipments, just black white disruptive things.
Yeah, just to be clear, hang on, Skyclave apparitions. So I keep getting these Skyclaves confused because there's a lot of Skyclave cards that are seeing play these days. Skyclave apparition is the one white white core spirit.
Yeah, this is the one we bought. This is the good one.
Yeah, but there are other good ones, like the black like Death Shadow guy is pretty good, and then there's the Skyclave like Blood Gas guy is a Skyclave something or other too, yeah.
Oh, they're all Skyclaves, really?
I think so. Their names are something Skyclave. Oh,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, Scourge of the Skyclaves is the black guy, you're correct. All right,
yeah.
Fair enough.
So I was confused about that. I'm interested to see this guy in here, though. Does this deck have Aether Vial? No, it doesn't. So it's just purely just a removal creature. It's cool.
Yeah, just 4 of them, 3 in the main, 1 on the side. But yeah, just fair black and white cards. Second place is Oops All Spells. I'm going to come back to going through the list.
Okay.
kind of predicted that one. Third place is Primeval Titan Amulet with Karns. A couple of the new Flipland, the green Flipland. Fourth place is like a...
Yeah, Turn Timber Symbiosis is what you're talking about.
Yeah, Turn Timber Symbiosis is the one that searches the top 7 of your library.
Yep, mythic.
Fourth place is Uro Pile. 4-color Uro with some Fire Spouts and some Ren and Sixes. Fifth place is Niv-Mizzet Reborn. 5-color Midrange with Yorion on the sideboard. Sixth place is Blue Red Prowess. Seventh place is Burn. And eighth place is Laplagian on Devoted Druid.
Hey, there we go. Laplagian. He's been like consistently doing well in these challenges with a Devoted Devastation Druid.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, yeah, the Laplagian special is what we'll call this. I don't know if anybody else could win with this ham sandwich.
Well, that deck is seeing an uptick. If you dig deeper into the top 32, there are a couple more copies, but he has been consistently doing it.
But I mean, he's always winning with the Sam sandwich.
Yeah. I think more importantly, though, is like what new cards are showing up in these lists. And there are quite a few. There's a lot of
that. Leflation needed nothing.
I'm curious if those decks could make room for Turn Timber's Symbiosis, though. Don't you think?
I mean, could definitely use it as a, like, I mean, it's just like another, it's a worse devoted or devastation, finale of devastation.
Yeah.
Because it's when you go infinite, it's 7 mana, dig 7 for your Walking Ballista.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not good enough. You'd rather just always find your Walking Ballista.
But in the land slot, you know, like you're a combo deck, so like maybe the life doesn't matter so much, but you do die pretty bad to burn decks, so.
Yeah, not great.
This Niv-Mizzet deck, though, Omnath in the sideboard.
Yep, good old Omnath. I'm going to eat you up.
Not terribly surprising. If you've got 5 colors, you might as well play like one of the best 4-color cards you can.
Oh, yeah, no, and 3, especially with Fetchlands, like you... Yeah, like if you play this guy on 4 and you go like fetch land, break it, you can play Niv-Mizzet that turn.
Yeah.
Like if you ramp on turn 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
And in turn 4, it's like Omnath, fetch land, break it, get the colors, make a black, Niv-Mizzet, draw some number of cards.
Right.
So yeah, that seems pretty good.
Nice.
But I'm going to circle back to this Oops All Spells deck.
Fair enough. Let's do it. It's inevitable.
All right. 4 Ballast Trades by, which is 3 and a black. When it enters the battlefield, target player reveals top cards of his or her library until they reveal land. Put them all in the graveyard. Put all the cards revealed this way in the graveyard.
Yeah.
And the land, your hand.
Yeah. In other words, put your entire deck into your graveyard, right?
Yep. 2 Narcomoeba, a Phantasmagorian, a Salvage Titan, 4 Simian Spirit Guide, a Tangle Florahedron, which is the 2-mana ramp creature that also is a land, 4 Undercity Informer, which is pay 1, sacrifice creature, do the milling thing until you hit a land and put it in your hand for 2 and a black, 4 Vengevine, 4 Agadeum's Awakening, which is the black Mythic Flip land, 4 Creeping Chill, 3 Emeria's Call, which is the white Mythic Flip land, 4 Palak Predation, which is just one of the flip land, the black flip lands. 3 Seagate Restoration, which is the blue mythic flip land. 4 Term Timber Symbiosis, which is the green mythic flip land. A Hogger Mauling, which is the if your opponent controls no basics or short deck creature, but it's a flip land. A Nexus of Fate, a Pact of Negation.
Well, wait. Hogger Mauling just costs 1 less if your opponent controls no basics. You can always destroy a creature.
Yeah, you can always destroy a creature. 4 Pentad Prism, 3 Sword of the Meek, 3 Talisman of Resilience, which is the black-green Talisman, 4 main deck Leyline Sanctity. Sideboard, 2 Pact Negation, 4 Intervention Pact, which is the white Fog Pact, 4 Nature's Claim, 4 Goblin Chartulcher, and a Singleton Mountain.
Okay, so if you're at home, now pause the podcast and recite all of that back.
Yeah, just go look at the list. It's bad. It's unreasonable. It's not bad. It's just unreasonable. So what's happening here is you're going to put one of the big dumb things into play that flips your deck.
Yeah,
You have a Nexus of Fate, so you get a turn. So what happens is you flip your deck. You get a Salvage Titan into your graveyard. You pick it up by exiling 3 of your Pentad Prisms. Your Narcomoeba triggers and brings back 3 Sword of the Meeks, so you can sacrifice them and play your Salvage Titan. And so there has to be a way to cast another creature spell. And I might just be too stupid to figure it out because there's only one Salvage Titan. Oh, the spy or the Undercity Informer you cast is the second creature, is the first creature spell. The Salvage Titan is the second one, which then brings back 4 Vengevines. You hit them for 16, you Creeping Chill them 4 times. That's 16, 12 is 28. And if they live, you have a Nexus of Fate to get an extra turn.
That's why you play the Nexus of Fate, just so it shuffles back in.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Like another person, Canister played this deck. He played a Memories Journey instead, which is has flashback for a green to shuffle 3 cards in your deck, but functionally does the same thing.
Okay, so essentially
that gives you three extra turns.
Essentially, if this deck goes unchecked by turn four, they can pretty consistently they can pretty consistently just win with Balustrade Spy or with Undercity Informer, because all they need is that one card. It's basically a one card combo that drops the deck into their graveyard, because either one of those cards will do that. Narcomoeba's trigger, the Sword of the Meeks, bring them back. Those can be sacrificed to return the dude. And like you just
said, you exile artifacts from your graveyard. So the Pentad Prism of his Talisman of Resilience. And then the Sword of the Meeks in play gets sacrificed to cast itself.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. I see.
So this is the world where I was just like, well, all these lands are viable and playable. You know, we bought some that we thought were actually playable. We bought a bunch of them because we thought Belcher would also be a thing. They're kind of a wash, really. Like, we knew something like this was going to happen.
Phantasmagorian, is that in there just to pitch Vengevines if they're in your hand?
It's actually, yeah. So it's in there also to pitch the Nexus of Fate if it's in your hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Man, this is pretty dumb. This deck is kind of terrifying. Like, it seems like it could be pretty easily hated out with Graveyard Hate because of the fact that, like, well, I mean, I don't know. We thought that about Vengevine and Hogak.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look at the sideboard, though. Like, Pact of Negation, Nature's Claim. It's ready for that stuff. It's got to see the answers, but it really deludes its deck plan to do that. However, when you're not running lands, you can pretty much, you know, you can make it work.
Yeah, so the key here is the four main board Leyline of Sanctity prevents you from getting hit by most Graveyard Hate. There are two cards right now in Modern that would work, which are both available to the first place deck, and Surgical Extraction also works. But the cards that are available that can work are Surgical Extraction, Kaya's Guile.
Oh, yeah, Kaya's Guile. Does it say each opponent?
It's not target. It's each opponent. Yep.
Oh, that card is nifty, huh?
Yeah, that card is very good, and I like playing any control decks. But yeah, so there are a few cards, but only one of them is realistically main board playable, and black white is not a common color combination.
Yeah.
So it just so happened to be that black white was being played this weekend. And it had main board answers already to this disaster of a deck. Do we want to talk about... You said you want to talk about the Niv-Mizzet deck.
I mean, that was probably enough. Just to mention that the Honath is in the sideboard. But, you know. Yeah, there was another event. It wouldn't hurt to just kind of look over that one too, I guess.
Just to point out, you're seeing stuff like Kozilek and Gaia's Blessing pop up just because Mill is so prevalent online.
Yeah. Deck is annoying. Yeah, let's look at that Niv-Mizzet deck. That's pretty spicy, isn't it? Is that God of Slaughter?
Yes, God of Slaughter.
Yeah, this one... Okay, so we're looking at... Actually, the
main cards. Deck. What am so I talking we're not going to read it off.
Yeah, so three cards, main deck
we're
Omnath.
Not going to read it off.
Now, listen, you can't get Omnath with Niv-Mizzet because it says exactly two colors. So even though it fulfills a lot of those choices, it's just in there because it's so valuable. And it can do so much to like fix your mana, provide mana, gain you life. It's so versatile. Full four Renin 6. I mean, obviously really good with this like landfall package, which is that kind of is doing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Bring Delight, like the ultimate toolbox in an 80 card, five color deck. This feels like you're playing a commander deck. It's kind of silly.
Because you are basically.
Feels like you're playing a 250 card Highlander deck.
Yeah. Nice little Stoneforge package, four Stoneforge, a Battle Skull, a couple swords, Feast of Famine, Fire and Ice. Sideboard bullets. There's a Clothis for Graveyard Hate, but to go with the four main board Kaya's Guile. Yeah, a boil because you're not playing a lot of islands in your deck. Your tri-lands are islands, but there are only like one or two of those that are actually islands because you're not playing Ragoran and you're not playing Zargoth. So they only have the one Triome that is an island, which is the Kittrian one.
This deck's only got 8 1 drops in all of its 80 cards, and those are 4 Utopia Sprawl and 4 Abundant Growth. So you know, the reason being that like Niv-Mizzet is looking for 2 color cards, so in order for it to be 2 colors, typically have to be at least 2 mana. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to interpret how this would play out, but I haven't played a lot of Niv-Mizzet in Modern, although I do have the deck in Pioneer, and it's a blast. It is so fun to play. So I'm glad that
these decks just bury like fair decks and kind of struggle against unfair decks.
Yeah, this is the first time I've never seen the Stoneforge package in these decks before. That's kind of interesting.
I mean, when you have 80 cards, you have a little space to.
Yeah, I guess so. okay, then real quick. So there's Modern Challenge. It's listed as 928, but that's today. So I imagine this is probably yesterday's Modern Challenge that just got posted today.
Sure.
Does that sound right to you? I don't know. Anyways, this one was won by Red Black Scourge Shadow. So that's Scourge of the Skyclave. So this is the Death Shadowy looking one. Which is the, let me just read it out loud because it's kind of strange. It's 1 in a black for an XX. When you cast a spell, if it was kicked, each player loses half of their life rounded up. The kicker is 5, so it costs 7 to do that. You're never doing that in this deck. But its power and toughness are equal to 20 minus the highest life total among players. So it's kind of like Death Shadow's 5 through 8. However, it does factor in your opponent's life total as well as your own. So it's really kind of funky in these decks. So then this one's also got like the Prowess package. It's got Swift Spears, Soul Scar Mages. It's kind of an interesting take on Death Shadow. Crash Through. I like Crash Through in there. It makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like your version of the Team Room Battle Rage, but sort of the glue that blends the two strategies together, because you know, obviously you want your Death Shadow to have trample, but there's not really a need then for the double striking when you have 4 copies of, or 2 copies, I guess, of this cantrip that also triggers your prowess.
I mean, this is just red black prowess, and they replace some of the creature, like some of the bad prowess creatures, with Scourge of Skyclave and Death Shadow, which we know are both reasonable creatures. So
I was mistaken. You do actually have 2 copies of Battle Rage in here. So 2 Crash Through, 2 Battle Rage. So it's just like a split between the two.
Yeah, they're just trying to get you extremely dead.
But, you know, this makes a lot of sense the way that this is built, because you do want to apply pressure to your opponent's life total if you're going to be playing Scourge of the Skyclaves. So, you know, like obviously Monastery Swift Spear and Soulscar Mage lend themselves to that. You get to play a lot of like the Mutagenic Growth, and like they've got Apostle's Blessing in here too, where you've got Phyrexian mana to, you know, damage your own life total. So I don't know. Seems cool. It's a unique take on this. It's even got a Feed the Swarm in the sideboard, which is the 1 in a black sorcery. Destroy target creature or enchantment and opponent controls. You lose life equal to that permanent's converted mana cost. I imagine that will be handy if there's like an opponent doing Leyline of Sanctity stuff in some cases, because your Thoughtseize, your discard spells, and your bolts are a lot less effective. But you know, this also doubles as like some really effective removal for their critters too.
Yep.
Second place was a Jund Death Shadow list. Oh, I forgot to mention one Agadeem's Awakening in the last list. That's the mythic black modal dual face. The Jund Death Shadows list just had the Blood Chief's Thirst, which is the like sorcery speed removal spell that can be kicked to destroy a creature or planeswalker. But otherwise, it's just 1 mana, destroy target creature or planeswalker with converted mana cost 2 or less. Kind of nice. Makes sense in here. You want to get those little guys out of the way so you can blast through.
Cleansing Wildfire also included there.
Cleansing Wildfire. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the sideboard. Yeah. And I didn't notice that. Good. Good. This one's got Lurrus, obviously. And then
That's main deck. That's a main deck Lurrus. It's not a companion because the sideboard has 15 cards on it.
Is it? Oh. Yeah, why is it? It's listed as other though. That's confusing. Okay.
They probably spelled it wrong or something.
Okay. Blue-Eyed Spirits in third, and that one has Skyclave Apparition. No surprise there. It was exactly where we pictured it, or one of the places we pictured it. It seems like a shoo-in. And it's in a full four copies. This guy's going to be modern staple, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nothing too fancy in the board. Fourth place, Amulet Titan with Turn Timber Symbiosis. That card is real. Fifth place, Green White Company Scales. Is that for real? Green White Company Scales? So it's
Conclave Mentor, even.
Yeah, is it using any of the new stuff?
It's Heliod combo.
Yeah, Heliod combo, Spike Feeder, Conclave Mentor. Conclave Mentor is the M21 guy that is green and a white for a 2/2. If one or more +1/+1 counters will be put on a creature you control, put that many +1 on that creature instead. And when Conclave Mentor dies, you gain life equal to its power. It's kind of like a constrictor. So it's just green white constrictor.
So scales and Conclave Mentor let you go infinite with Heliod and Spike Feeder. So, because you have one of those in play, you play Heliod, you play Spike Feeder, you remove a counter, you gained life, you put a counter on Spike Feeder, it gets two counters.
Yeah, okay.
You go infinite. And so you can go infinite, and then if it's Conclave Mentor, like you can go infinite, and then with your infinite counters, put infinite counters on all of your creatures and attack for infinite.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Or if you just have Ballista, you know. Good old Ballista style. But yeah, nothing new.
Ballista style. Opa Ballista style.
Sorry I even brought that up.
Sixth place is Tron. We haven't seen a lot of Tron, thank God. I don't miss
that. Yeah, nothing new here. Looks like Golos Tron. They have the cataracts to be able to activate Golos.
Yeah, it is Golos Tron.
Giant nasty things off the top of their deck. Giganta Companion.
Filigree Familiar in the sideboard. Is that new? Kind of unusual.
No, that's old.
Okay. Seventh place, Daryl, this one's for you. This is Red Green Belcher.
Yeah.
Lots of red green belch smoke
nonsense. Oh, this is a nice use of Ironcrag Feet, which we said this card's broken a while ago. And I was like, well, certainly someone has to figure out something to do with it. Well, Ironcrag Feet, which is one red for a sorcery, adds 7 red to your mana pool. You can only cast one more spell this turn. Activating Goblin Char Belcher and casting it costs exactly 7 mana. So
how perfect, right?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Sideboard Collected Company? What?
So.
What?
The sideboard, the one collected company sideboard, I'm so confused by this because it's really weird. The one collected company sideboard, I'm going to go real deep because I think this is what it is. So what it is you activate your Goblin Char Belcher.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't kill your opponent because they have a Leyline Sanctity in play. You stack your deck with Collected Company on top of your deck, and in the top 6 cards of your library, Undercity Informer and Thassa's Oracle.
Oh.
And you cast Collected Company, they both come into play, they trigger, you mill your whole deck, and you win the game.
Ooh, you're big brain, Daryl. That's good. Nice job. I think you got it.
That's the only thing I can think of.
That's gotta be it. Yeah, that's gotta be it.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool, I like that.
If you have 2 mana morphosises, you can cast it from your hand the hard way if you draw both the pieces by making, 5 mana. Manamorphose for black, blue, and then manamorphose again for blue X, and then cast both pieces from your hand. So
nice.
There's that too. The reason why this works is actually because of Recross the Paths. That stacks your deck for
Recross the Paths. What is that?
Yeah, it's 2 and a green for a sorcery. Reveal the top card of your library until you hit a land card. Put that card into play and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. Clash with the opponent if you win, return to your hand.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nice.
That's why we figured it out.
Bottom of your library in any order. So you can stack your deck. Literally stacks your deck.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so you can play that and stack your deck and make sure you have Char Belcher on turn 4 or do the Collected Company.
Oh man, Daryl, should we be concerned about all this oops all spells nonsense? Is this a mistake?
I don't care, dude. It's here. It exists.
It's here.
They're not gonna ban all these modal double face cards. They might ban Goblin Charbelcher or the Spy and the other thing. Who cares? I don't care, man. Yeah. Just let it exist.
Yeah, I mean, I just play
discard.
I'll just keep playing my counter spells.
Yep. This guy has defense grids main board to prevent that, but play discard, play counter spells. You'll get eaten up by Velasummer. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Oh, Velasummer. I forgot about that damn card.
Yep. Eighth place is good old Neobran.
Yeah. We don't have to talk about that. Storm after that. Boring. Ponza in 10th. Nothing new there either. I don't think so, at least. Is there anything new on the sideboard? I don't know. Ponza deck doesn't look too exciting to me. It does have white in it, though. That's kind of cool. It is Naya.
Nothing fancy with the Ponza deck.
Dead Guy Aelin 11th is another one of those with Skyclave Apparition in it. So this black-white stone blade with Skyclave Apparition
looks like
is real.
Looks like the exact deck that got first in the other one.
Yeah, does this deck not look like Magic Circle, like 1998 to you?
Yeah, 2000, where Hymnotaurac was a valid Magic card.
Yeah, this looks just so classic to me. I love this. Maybe my date is a little bit off, but it just looks like vintage, like black and white mid-range decks are just like have such an important place in the history of like competitive Magic scenes, and I feel like there ought to be a deck in Modern that exists always that can do this kind of thing, so I'm very happy to see it.
Then we
don't need to go through this whole list. Obviously there's a bunch of stuff, but we're seeing like, you know, there's some Skyclave there. There's some Skyclave in the Spirits. Scourge of the Skyclaves in Jun Shadow looking ahead. Magmatic Channeler in Amardu Pyromancer list in 13th place. That's the guy that can discard the top card or discard a card and then exile two, and you can play one of them. And he becomes a 4/4. That guy's pretty cool. I've been testing him out in Historic in a Phoenix deck. I've been pretty happy with that. Not a lot of pathways seeing play. Needle Verge Pathway and Mono White Enduring Ideal. That's about it. Kind of surprised.
Nothing unexpected, though, actually. I've seen Pathway and Storm. Some Storm decks choose not to play it. Nothing really surprising, though, here. As to what's going on.
Jwari Disruption and Temur Scapeshift. You were like thinking that one was never going to see play. But here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a four spike that's kind of Modern playable because it can be a land in Temur Scapeshift because Temur Scapeshift has Field of the Dead in it. So like when their really bad counterspell is bad, they can just like play it as a land.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of hype for Shadow. I've heard a lot of people talking about how that deck is real, and it's hard for me to like understand how effective that Skyclave dude is in that deck. It seems really strange, but I believe that it's probably pretty strong. I mean, just having more copies of Shadow seems like pretty powerful.
Yeah. Like if you can keep them from getting out in front of you and killing you, like doing a lot of damage to you, like if you have early disruption for their like creatures, then Scourge of Skyclave is pretty bad, and you just have to beat like Death Shadow. But if they get like an early Soul Spear and bolt you Lava Dart, you know, hit you for 7 or 8, you fetch, like then we're in trouble because they have 2 mana 10/10s.
Yeah, I mean, unless your opponent is gaining life, that dude is like pretty consistently a 2 mana 5/5, right? Like modern players are doing a lot of damage to themselves with their shocks and their fetches, so it can't be too hard to do that. Like you don't have to really actively be making him larger by damaging your opponent.
No, he
can only get better if you are, but I mean, just like just tossing him in the Death Shadow deck and just saying, oh, this will work, I think actually is a reasonable strategy, believe it or not. I have heard that Humans stands a good chance of you know, making a comeback because of, you know, just the shift in the meta, but it's really just hard to say. There's just so much different stuff out there, and I don't know, it's really hard to put a finger on what this metagame is going to be like. It's good news when there's this black white mid-range deck floating around. I think that really is a good tell for this format because like you say, your Siege Rhino is like your dipstick for the health of Pioneer. Like I feel like, you know, Stoneforge Mystic is kind of like a dipstick for the health of Modern. Like if combo and aggressive decks are just too powerful, like Stoneforge is just getting pushed out of the format. But if the format is slow enough where you can do things with like swords and stuff like that, I feel like there's some interaction happening.
That's fair.
So I'm in for it.
I think that's a good dipstick. I don't know, man. I got bored and started playing some Jeskai Control.
Oh, yeah?
For the pure desire to try and cast Inspire and Ultimatum in Modern.
Oh, boy. What are you doing with that?
I mean, it's just like, it's like my one of, like, Sphinx's Revelation style card and Jeskai Control.
Yeah. Okay.
And then just using, like, the Cryptic Loops stuff to bounce Mystic Sanctuary to, like, finish the game with it. Because, like, realistically, even if it gets Veiled or something like that, it's still, like, gain 5, draw 5 for 7, which is a little bit greater than Sphinx's Revelation. Because gain 5, draw 5 was 8 mana.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a one-up. You can pitch to Force Negation otherwise. But, I don't know. I've been having fun playing all Jeskai Control, burning people out, which is a notoriously terrible plan against the Euro piles, by the way. Oh, but yeah. I've had some success against, like, humans and shadow and stuff like that, because playing the full four path and stuff like that. So
sure. Cool, man. Well, I think we finished on a relatively positive note, despite the rage moment in the beginning there. So my temperature has gone down and my fists are no longer clenched.
Good.
But I'm still pissed.
Well, go be angry on your own time. I'm going to go do other things. And I hope everyone has a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Goodbye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with Cardnock Life offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Cardnock Life content.